Welcome on in. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. Lot to get to today. As we start, of course, with the disaster that is the last spot in the Phillies rotation, what they do about it now, and whose fault and where the mistakes had come down. We'll get to some Eagles stuff as well, some interesting hypotheticals out there closer to training camp. Good morning, Hugh Douglas.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Kyle. Good morning, Philadelphia. You know, sometimes meatballs are good, but not when you're playing baseball. It's just, you know.
That's true.
Man, you cooked right there.
I'm just saying, serving up.
Thought about that one since yesterday afternoon?
No, I didn't. I thought about that one just like 5 seconds ago.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
We can all tell.
Yeah. Hey, I'm mailing it in.
That being said, can't be worse than Andrew Painter's performance yesterday.
Mailing it in.
My goodness. Well, he's not mailing it in, but he's just not good enough. And the Phillies yesterday did what they probably should have done a while ago. And sent him down to AAA. Hugh, he gets crushed yesterday by the Marlins. Phillies lose. But the story is really Andrew Painter, not the game. I mean, it's just one game yesterday.
Yeah.
It's Andrew Painter and the fact that this kid cannot cut it up here in the major leagues. And Hugh, I just want to start with this. Because when a player struggles, especially a high-profile player, I just speak for myself. I usually have frustration at the player. I come to you today with zero frustration at Andrew Painter. Zero. My frustration is with the Phillies. This is on them. What we have watched with Andrew Painter over the past few months, but you can even go back years, is organizational malpractice. This is a player.
That's deep, right?
Well,
there.
It
organizational
is.
Malpractice is
Hugh,
heavy.
It is.
I hear you.
Is a player that they told us could swim when he couldn't, and then they watched him drown for 2 months before they finally got him out of the pool yesterday. He's not good enough for the major leagues.
That metaphor is
He's just not. I mean, they've watched him. It is so hard to have a 7 ERA this deep into a season. It's almost impossible to have a 7 ERA as a major league pitcher, which tells you what he's not. He's not a major leaguer. I'm glad they finally sent him down yesterday, but it's on them. What we watch here was self-deception by the Phillies. They told themselves this kid was great, and then they believed it even when the evidence started piling up that he wasn't. He didn't earn his way here. He had a 5.4 ERA at Lehigh Valley last year. Mm-hmm. 5.4 at Lehigh Valley. Anyone else has a 5.4 at AAA, they don't just get a spot on the team. They told themselves he has to be ready because we told him he's ready. He wasn't ready. This is on the Phillies, and I really hope they didn't break this kid mentally. Physically, that's not their fault. He got hurt. But I hope they didn't break him mentally because the pitcher I heard yesterday, Hugh, was one that sounded broken. He's not the same guy he used to be. He doesn't know how to get back there. And unfortunately, they've made him sit up here for 2 months when he shouldn't have been. It's a mess.
Yeah, I'm with you. And you know, like I said, when he served up, you know, I was watching the game with Mike Angelini yesterday. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he got through the first batter, handled his business, and he walked the second. And then that third one, when he served up that meatball, it was just like, wow. And then it just got out of hand quickly. And when you look at the score of that game, I think it was 4-6 at the end. You can't help but think that if you don't start the game the way that it started, the Phillies probably win that game. They probably sweep that series. Right now, I say all that to say, right now he's doing nothing to help you win games, mm-hmm. and it's unfortunate. It's also unfortunate that he was brought up as a what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of like a consolation prize, or to try to, you know, stop the bleeding from us not getting some other guys, you know, and just trying to make some moves to make the team younger. He wasn't ready. No question, he wasn't ready.
Well, he wasn't. And finally, the Phillies yesterday did what they had to do. They sent him down to the minor leagues. I'm at the point where I can't expect him to come back this year. We'll see what he becomes. Now, I don't think we should write his career off. There have been plenty of pitchers that have struggled, and then they go back, and then they come back, and they're really good. I mean, obviously, the example we're going to hear today, it's going to be printed everywhere. The Phillies will put it out there. It'll be. Roy Halladay's the biggest example probably in my lifetime of being someone that was so bad early in his career that he went all the way back to single A and rebuilt everything, and he became the Roy Halladay we know. That's like the best case scenario. I don't know where Andrew Painter's career goes. I'm not writing his career off. He still has some stuff, but obviously he's not good enough for the major leagues. And the frustrating part is the Phillies saw it and they ignored it. It's one thing if he dominated last year and then he came up and he struggled. Then, all right, we thought he was ready. He wasn't. At what point did anyone with eyes in that organization say, he's ready? Because I would love to hear them explain it. Because when you have a 5-4 ERA in the minor leagues, you're not ready. Triple-A hitters are crushing you. You know what usually happens when you have a triple-A ERA? When you get to the major leagues, it gets a little bit worse because naturally you face better hitters.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a 5 ERA in the minors last year, and guess what it is now here? 7. It's really, that's just kind of math. That's not surprising when you think about it. It's unfortunate. And Hugh, The question is now, at what turn did they make the bigger mistake? Because the Phillies made two Andrew Painter mistakes now that we're here. The first one was years ago, Hugh, they could have traded him multiple trade deadlines, right? Year after year, the
Phillies
were trying to win the World Series, and we talked about players they should acquire, try to acquire, all that, right, to put him over the hump. And every time, whether it be Garrett Crochet or Mason Miller, or we could probably pick out three other names that have been traded the last few years, every time, Hugh, when we had those conversations, what came up? Well, they're not trading Andrew Painter, right?
No, he was untradeable.
Untouchable. So they made him untouchable when they could have maybe cashed him in for something to win a World Series. That was mistake number one. And then we have mistake number two was just giving him the spot. And Hugh, that's to me, this is on Dave Dombrowski more than anyone else. He has to know he wasn't ready. And unfortunately, Hugh, they didn't give themselves a life raft, right? Like, they didn't have anybody else in the organization. They didn't sign anybody. They didn't give themselves any depth. So that way, if he wasn't ready, they could have fixed this. It's almost like, well, if we don't give ourselves an insurance policy, I guess we can't have insurance, so we just got to keep going. It doesn't work like that.
No, it doesn't. And it's unfortunate that now we lost. Who did we lose a week ago? Garcia. We lost Adolphus Garcia.
Adolis.
Adolphus Garcia.
No.
Starting the day off. Wonderful. Been killing names this all morning long.
Oh, Dallas. With
Adolphus Garcia. Adolis Garcia.
You got it. Nailed it.
And now we lose a pitcher. Now we need to get pitching. At the trade deadline, we need a lot, and we don't have anything to give.
Wonderful.
Wait, I mean,
wonderful.
What?
I'm just like, you're right, but it just paints this picture of, oh, damn.
What are we doing? What are we going to do?
All right, what to you was the bigger mistake? Not trading him a few years ago when they could have cashed him in, or just put him in the rotation when he wasn't ready?
You know what resonates with me? Leaving the kid out there to dry. When you said that this morning, I was like, damn, that analogy is spot on when you talk about it. It was almost like round peg, square hole type situation. You forced
square peg, round
there.
Hole.
What?
Round square peg, round hole, no.
What's wrong with the way I say it?
Well, the
round peg, square hole is
round,
the same thing.
A round peg would fit in the square
but
hole.
But a hole can't be really square, right?
Well, I'm saying if it's a bigger hole, then it's square.
It's not.
Okay, fine. Square peg, round hole, whatever. You know what I mean? See, this is what we're doing today. Why is it so hot in here? Is it me? Do I feel the feeling pressure?
It's just you. I'm a little chilly, actually.
But it's one of those things where you force him out there and you just kind of left him out there. You saw him struggling mightily and you just kind of left him out there.
You know how the Phillies obviously knew they had made a mistake and they had to correct it? They didn't even give it 20 minutes after the game before they sent him down.
Yeah,
I mean, they didn't even let that thing breathe yesterday. They were like, oh, crap.
That's pretty tough.
The laughter is like bananas.
Mattingly tried to do the like, oh, we haven't even really talked about that yet, but it felt like
the guy walked out of the press conference. They sent him down in the minor leagues.
Maybe Mattingly just wasn't privy to that conversation, but talked about it clearly.
Somebody said, oh, man, get his ass up out of here today.
And
that was to get his ass up out of here today.
There were signs.
He's only like, what, two-thirds innings, right?
Yeah. I mean, and there were signs. When they used the opener, when they used Tanner Banks as an opener last Friday, that was, you knew we were at thin ice here. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's hear from Don Mattingly after the game yesterday with Andrew Painter, who now is headed to AAA.
The guys were really happy with his bullpen. In between, obviously that's a bullpen, a little bit like batting practice. If you're saying a guy looks good, he's starting to swing better or whatever, you have to be able to do that in a game. And today, obviously, that didn't happen.
Misses spots.
I don't know if I didn't actually go back and look at everyone during the game, but it sounded like Caleb. The home runs were kind of center cut fastballs. Usually, you don't like to throw anything center cut. I'm sure we'll look at it. I know they're looking at it. They've been looking at, you know, everything with not only paint, but, you know, our other guys too. Anytime they struggle, you're going to keep looking into stuff and see what you can do to help them, what's going on. And that goes on kind of continuously throughout the year.
He was trying, you know how when something's so bad, right? And it sounds like Don is very, very, you know, transparent in his conversations. He was struggling to find the words to kind of describe what he actually was thinking.
Yeah.
And he was trying to be nice, because the reality is this. He's a young guy, and the struggles that he's having, he's going to get past these. Don't know when that's going to happen, but, you know, you're invested heavily in him. And, Joe, I know nobody wants to hear this right now, but he might be back up here. He might be back up here. When you look at the position and the situation we're in, when you talk about pitching, we don't have the luxury of not giving him a second chance or a third chance for that matter. We just don't have it right now. So you try to give him some time, give him a reprieve, let him try to figure some things out. But he'll probably be back, no question about
that. Well, he probably will be, but it's up to them now to go get someone so they don't have to bring him back until he's ready. Like, you're right, he might come back this season, or there could be an injury and they might need him. But they already did this where he didn't earn it, he wasn't ready, they threw him out there anyway, and they were like, ah, what's the worst that could happen? Well, this is the worst that could happen. So now it's on Dave Dombrowski to go get something so they don't have to bring him back until he's actually prepared for this. And the concern I have now for his future is not his stuff, right? They'll figure that out, and they probably could find a way to take what he has in his arsenal and make it serviceable, right? My bigger concern is his confidence. I've seen plenty of pitchers just have lack of confidence, and right now
he looks shot.
Let's listen to him because he sounds like a kid that realizes he's not what he used to be, doesn't know when it's coming back. All right, let's hear Painter talking about his confidence in the midst of all the struggles.
You know, it's about as good as it can be right now under the circumstances. You know, still just going out there and being convicted with every pitch, trying to stay aggressive in the zone. And you know, if I'm going to give up runs, I'd rather get hit around than walk the guy. So just continue to stay aggressive in the zone.
Well, he could say that, but when he talks about his own confidence, it's not great. And then this, because this one is pretty telling. Him talking about how he can feel the difference in what he has now versus what he had before the surgery.
Does it feel the same way it did before surgery? Is it any different?
I can definitely feel the good ones. I think you can tell there's a difference. You know, numbers aside, when I throw a good fastball with a little more life, I can kind of feel it out of the hand, whereas the ones that are a little flatter and kind of cut a little bit, I can definitely feel this.
You were saying find out who you are as a pitcher. I mean, you, I'm sure, know yourself better than anybody. Who do you think you are right now as a pitcher?
Yeah, right now, you know, I've had to lean heavily on spin. Sweeper and sliders have been great for me. Earlier in the year, the changeup was great, and right now I'm kind of searching for it. It's kind of been inconsistent, kind of cut. It's not really giving me the depth, so just continue to kind of hone in on that stuff and work on the stuff in between each start and just try to perfect those things.
I mean, he's grasping at straws here, obviously. The Phillies made a lot of mistakes with this. 215-592-9494. The first mistake they made was not trading him when he had huge value and they could have got something to help them win the World Series. But I think the bigger mistake is what they're doing now or what they did to start this season. He wasn't ready. I don't know if I've ever seen a team fool themselves the way the Phillies have fooled themselves on this kid. He's not ready for this. And then it was kind of obvious in April. It was kind of obvious the beginning of May. They let this thing go to the middle of June. Shame on them. I mean, it's really because they let him sit out there and just get rocked by the Marlins. That wasn't the Dodgers yesterday.
No,
that wasn't the Braves.
No.
It was the Miami Marlins just teeing off.
And it got ugly quick, too. It got ugly kind of quick. Because, like I said, me and Mike were sitting there watching the game. And, you know, we're laughing and chuckling. And then all of a sudden, nothing to laugh at anymore.
No chuckling anymore?
No, it was like three batters in. It was like, wait a minute, what are we doing?
My goodness.
Yeah.
All right, 215-592-9494. Bigger mistake the Phillies made with this Painter thing. Not trading him when they could have, or just giving him the spot in the rotation that he clearly wasn't ready for. Kyle, what are you feeling as Painter headed to Allentown?
Well, it's just a bevy of mistakes made by the Phillies here. Calling him up too early was a clear mistake. He didn't earn his way up like every prospect should. Like, you play really well in the minors and make it so that they have to call you up. He got called up because his name's Andrew Painter. But I think the thing that really is stuck in my craw here is because the last two seasons when we did the trade deadline stuff, I'm just like recalling some of the names or like the caliber of players that we were tossing around of who we could trade Painter for. You got Mason Miller. I know we got Theron, but that's just an example. Like, we're talking about top of the line trade deadline acquisitions here. And now I'm thinking about if we were to trade him now, what kind of player we'd be able to get return.
Ugh.
And it's significantly lower. So it just kind of feels given the benefit of hindsight here, that's what we have. Probably should have traded them when his value was at its highest, because I don't know what the next few years look like with this team, the pitching staff, the lineup. Like, it really feels like the window is getting smaller and smaller. And I think we could look back here and our biggest regret, you know, not counting out Painter the rest of his career. Sure, he could be fine. But is he going to be an ace on our staff in 3 years while we're no longer in a World Series window? That I feel like would be a pretty big regret.
Yeah, and I assume that, you know, Hugh, we've talked about this a lot. The Phillies need to and want to get younger, right? They need to incorporate some younger guys in with the older guys.
And that's why he's up here.
But you can't. So I conceptually, we're all on board with that, right? To balance the salaries and to balance the age and make it. But you can't make a C player into an A player because you want him to be. You know what I mean? Like, and maybe he was an A prospect because he was, right? People thought of him that way.
Mm-hmm.
But when I watch him now, and obviously he feels it since his surgery, he's not really an A prospect at this point. And it feels like they just decided, well, we need him to be an A prospect, so we're just gonna just squeeze this in and hope he is. You can't make something is that isn't. And it feels like they did try to do that here.
And it does feel like that because since I've been here, heard his name a lot about being the next big thing.
Yeah.
And when you talk about some of the potential trade pieces that you had to try to get, he was not a part of the deal. You know, but now what you've done, Joe, you're in a position where you don't have a whole lot to hang your hat on. So you're kind of stuck with trying to make him be what we all thought he was going to be. And you can't give up on him. I mean, as bad as it is, you can't give up on him right now.
So
can't
do it. Yeah, I don't want to give up on him either, but they can't count on him. I mean, that's the problem. Like, giving up is one thing. The trading him or just, you know, pretending he doesn't exist is one thing. But they also cannot the rest of the season just count on him. I don't care if he goes down to AAA next week and throws 7 shutout innings. He has to earn it. He has to get really good for a while before I even consider bringing him back. 215-592-9494. All right, your reaction to yesterday, Painter, and the mistakes the Phillies made. What's the bigger mistake? I mean, not trading him for something huge when they could have in the last few years when they were in the window to win a World Series, or this year? I mean, I still, it's amazing when you think about it that they went from, yeah, he didn't pitch well at AAA, but if as long as he's just, has a pulse in spring training, we're just going to hand him a spot in the rotation. It's crazy when you think about what they did. Chris in Middletown is up on WIP. It's crazy.
You on fire.
It's crazy. Go ahead, Chris.
Here we go again. Welcome to Philadelphia. This is what Philadelphia fandom is all about right here.
Yeah, this is a tough one. This is tough. We were sold a bill of goods on this kid, Chris. Not great.
Joe, our two best future pieces that were completely untouchable last year that we were told were off the table and cannot be part of any charge, any trades, they're both bumps. Like, Painter is the absolute rock bottom of pitchers in Major League Baseball right now. And Aiden Miller, like, he still can't pick up a bat because he's got that tidy back, you. So, like, guys, this is just, like, a total contrast of one year to the next that is just a fitting image of what we deal with as Philadelphia sports fans. We go from the absolute high of highs to, like, we think we're untouchable, we're on the way, we got these two young studs to the rug is pulled out from underneath us and we fall through the trap door and like we're down in the basement. Like it's just painful. Like, and here's the thing. They should have traded him. They should have traded him because we could have had Derek Crochet, 26 years old, led Major League Baseball in strikeouts last year and came in second in Cy Young in the AL. He could have been ours. And I get that he's on the IL this year and he's hurt, but who cares? Painter's down in the minor leagues. I would trade for him any day in a heartbeat. And guys, what I got to wonder is we felt like those guys were untouchable. We also know that Middleton basically came out and said that Dombrowski was untouchable. Dimwit was untouchable. I don't know if that's the case anymore. I wonder if he's finally getting some buyer's remorse and going, maybe this guy's the problem and maybe he's got to go because his moves have been pretty much epic failures. And on my way out, though, speaking of bad moves and typical Philly things. I have a question for you. I listened to you debate ESP yesterday, which is just, I was waiting for Joel to show up. But I have a serious question for you. Who makes you crazier and is more difficult to debate, ESP or Jay from West Philly? Because I personally like Jay. I think he's definitely a top five caller. But who makes you nuttier?
So it's a good question. And Chris, we appreciate the phone call. It's Jay. I mean, it's obviously
has to be Jay. Jay. I mean, well, the problem with Jay is that he won't even agree with you on like basic facts.
Yeah. No. And he, yes.
Yeah. You can't even come from a place of like, you can't establish anything with Jay.
Yeah. Elliot just veers off into Elliot land, no. But at least we can start and have a baseline of where we're trying to go. Yeah, with Jay, it's just like,
Jay just ignores reality.
Completely. I mean, and like most people, I mean, he's not alone in that. But
no, but he's
of,
like the king of ignoring reality.
Well, you know, Chris brought up something interesting besides, you know, which debate is more challenging for me, Elliot or Jay from West Philly, and that is the Dombrowski angle of this. You know, if I'm John Middleton, at some point, Do I like start to write down all the things that Dave Dombrowski told me he was right about and he was sure about? And I'm like, Dave, you told me this. I pay you a lot of money to run the baseball team, and you told me Andrew Painter should be untouchable. Andrew Painter has a 7 ERA. He's back in the minor leagues.
Are you talking about referencing some of the stuff he said, I think, at the beginning of the season
in general.
Kind of know more baseball than everybody else.
Yeah, like this goes on Dombrowski's ledger. I'm not trading this guy. He could be great. He's ready. Well, he's none of those things right now. All the things you said, Dave Dombrowski, about this player, he's not that. I mean, and then we can go through the whole list. Think about the last year for Dave Dombrowski. He's had to release Taijuan Walker and Nick Castellanos, two guys he signed within their contracts with the Phillies. Trey Turner, who he gave $300 million to, has been so bad that we're trying to get Magic wand his contract out of here for the second time.
He got a base hit yesterday.
You called a hit from Trey Turner.
Yeah, and wow, he got three.
You are on fire.
I'm just saying, I'm a sage up in this piece.
Is that what it is?
That's something like that.
Okay.
I'm just saying because we were kind of down on him yesterday, and we fixed.
Everyone was down on him all season.
We get one problem going in the right direction. Now we got another one. I'm just saying. I just had to. Put that out there.
I know. Who's the person in charge of the roster that we're always upset about?
Bobrovsky. Yeah. Bobrovsky.
Dave Dombrowski.
Nope. I said his name together.
Bobrovsky.
Mike Mandowski.
Mike Wazowski.
Yeah, Monsters, Inc.
I know.
Yeah, I'm a big
Monsters, Inc. guy. That's a good movie. What's the second one? Monsters University? Is that the second one?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
I think so. Mike Mandowski.
Wazowski. Dave Dombrowski.
Yes.
Okay. I got a feeling today's going to be a day.
I feel like that too. It feels like it's going to be a day. I'm with you.
It just has that kind of feeling in here.
Not the snort.
Yeah, it has that feeling where you're going to say a lot of things that we turn into things. All right, 215-592-9494. For your reaction to all this, Andrew Painter sent down to AAA finally after getting blasted by the Marlins yesterday. I don't have any ill will, any frustration towards Andrew Painter. Like, why am I going to be mad at a guy that belongs in the minor leagues for getting rocked in the major leagues? He didn't belong here. This is on the Phillies. This was organizational malpractice. They convinced themselves of something. And then of all the evidence, you know, the Phillies in a way are kind of like you. It's like you with the A.J. Brown thing.
What do you mean?
The face of all the evidence.
Hold the line.
They held the line with Painter.
I missed that song.
And look where it got them. Look where it got you.
Always on time.
Yeah. Say, look where it got everyone.
All right, that's enough.
Your phone calls and all this. Painter, what was the bigger mistake? Not trading him when they could have or giving him this spot in the rotation he clearly did not earn here. Plus, along with your phone calls, another mistake they made earlier this season. I can't believe we're going to say this out loud, but we're here. That's up next. Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
When we come back. Any kind of fool could see there was something in everything about you. Baby, come back. You can blame it all on me. I was wrong, and I can't just live without you.
I can't believe we're about to have this discussion, but we're here. Well,
I can't believe it. The music.
I can't believe it. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas.
Don't look at it the way you're going to look at it, Joe.
Okay, I'll just say it then. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilio, you guys on the phone lines, of course, with us talking about this Painter situation. You know, the Phillies made a lot of mistakes here. And which one is bigger? I mean, not trading him when they could have, which was a huge one because they could have had Garrett Crochet, Mason Miller, probably come up with three or four more other guys that could have helped them win a World Series the last few years. Or this one, which is really, this one's to me less justifiable, what they've done the last few months. It was justifiable to say, he's untouchable, he's our top prospect, we think his next 6 years, blah, 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 better than this guy's next 6 years. Okay, agree, disagree. I always was willing to trade Painter, and most people didn't want to do it. But this, to me, is less justifiable, that they've let this go on for 2 months when he clearly is not ready for this and didn't earn it. But, Hugh, they made another mistake that's kind of compounding this mistake. And it's why Kyle brought us in with this music. So, part of the reason I think they've allowed him to stay in the major leagues until yesterday was they don't really have anybody else, right?
They got no choice.
No choice. They don't have pitching depth. But, of course, they could have pitching depth. They chose to get rid of one of their depth pitchers. Hugh Douglas, again, this is unbelievable. I'm about to say this out loud, but they should have just kept Taijuan Walker on the team?
You know, it's funny when you say that, right? Because I do recall you saying something about him throwing batting practice or something.
Mm-hmm. Well,
like you were very, very harsh.
Well, I was.
And you know, and I do recall Kyle saying something about in a text that, you know, the way you're pitching, that'd get you sent down.
Yeah.
DFA.
He stunk.
Are you trying to, I told you so was on this?
Oh, no.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, I get where you're going with this.
Yeah.
But we really don't have any alternatives right now. And because we are in the position that we're in, you don't have too many options at this moment. And if I'm not mistaken, you're still paying him, right?
Yes, he's still being paid.
Who are we playing for, the Trash Pandas?
No, he's a Salt Lake City
Trash Pandas.
No, because it is a team called the Trash Pandas.
Yeah, he's a B.
I think it's Louisiana.
No, Salt Lake City.
All right, but you knew this because we did a whole Hughes Clues on it.
The Salt Lake
Bees. You just wanted to bring up the Trash Pandas.
I did.
I can see right through you. We just talked about this.
I just wanted to say Trash Pandas.
Okay. Back to the moral
story.
But
bring it back. I know that's where you're going. Bring it back. Baby, come back. Any kind of fool.
So I'm not sure how his contract.
Dave has to sing that to Taiwan.
You know what? That would be hilarious.
Hey, man, sometimes, man, when you get out in these streets, like it's like a relationship. You know, you break up with your girlfriend and you go out there and you realize that there ain't nothing in them streets. Then you got to go back.
Dave sung that and it went viral, they'd have to fire him right after that.
Well,
I mean, you paid this guy $18 million a year, cut him, and then had to sing to him to bring him back? That's as low as it gets.
We had Aaron in San Diego singing happy birthday to, was it you or Hugh?
I think it was Hugh.
Okay.
That was uncomfortable.
We could send him over to Salt Lake.
Sure.
And he could sing it.
So here's the thing. I hated watching Taiwan pitch. I did. We all did. I mean, he stunk. But isn't that part of the reason why they let Painters drown for so long? Like, if Taiwan was still here. Right. If Taiwan was, and let's be real about Taiwan and his career. It was not good here in Philadelphia. It was way below what they asked for. But in four seasons, he pitched to a 5.1 ERA. Bad, right? That ERA is about
better than what we got. Yeah,
two runs better than Painter.
There's probably some conversation. And you know what? To be economically sound, probably the best move to make because you're paying him.
You're paying him anyway. It's so sad.
Are you laugh crying?
Yeah, kind of am. That we're already paying him. Might as well bring him back.
That felt like a laugh cry.
So here's my question to you: If you were Taiwan,
no,
you would say no.
I would say apologize
because they're paying you anyway. You could sit at home and get paid by the Phillies. You don't need to come back and work here anymore.
Well, I'll say this, Joe. It all depends on how I felt when I left. You know what I mean? How you make me feel when I left?
Sure.
But this is a business.
No, but if it was you, let's just play this out. You're getting paid. The money is going in your bank account every 2 weeks, and you don't have to come to work. But then they say to you, hey, I know we told you to go home, but we kind of need you to come back.
I would be at home 3D printing.
You wouldn't come back.
You got to stop that.
In my Forrest Gump voice, I was 3D printing.
I don't think you're doing what you think you're doing.
What am I doing?
Guilty.
Is that what it sounds like?
It sounds a little like that.
I thought it sounded more like Forrest Gump.
Well,
like, you know, when he was like, I was running, like that.
That one was a little more
Gumpy. That was better. The one you gave yesterday.
A little zesty.
Yeah, well, we're going to have to, we'll replay it later because it's by popular request.
You didn't see Joe?
It was
Joe
a lot.
Joe wants no part of today.
It was a lot.
215-592.
You had a hell of a day.
94.1.
I had an awesome day.
It's continuing into today.
I had an awesome day.
I mean, we're
day.
Closing this week strong with Douglas over here.
Yeah.
Is strong the word?
Is the AC on in this meeting?
Are you okay?
No, I'm a little warm.
He told us he was mailing it in at 10:01 today.
He was having hot flashes over here. All right.
I am 50.
Thinking about Jalen again?
Oh, stop.
I am 50, though. I'm just saying. I need to turn the AC on up in this piece.
Should they bring Taiwan back?
They should ask him. Now, if he comes back, he might just want to be a B. He might say, no, I kind of like it here in Salt Lake City.
I kind of like it in AAA for the Salt Lake City B.
He is the richest AAA player on their roster.
Oh, that's true.
I would probably get hands down.
That is true.
Like, what is he doing?
I would bring Taiwan back if he was willing to do it. I mean, they're going to have to go trade for a pitcher within the next couple of weeks. Matt Gelb reported yesterday they've been calling around for back-end rotation help, and which means they need someone. They need a body in here to help out. I don't know where the rotation goes the next couple of weeks, so they're going to they'll call someone up today to help in the bullpen, right? Because they don't need a starter until the beginning of next week. Who that is, I don't know. Alan Ronhell at AAA. I mean, they have so little that they need to go trade for someone. Kyle, would you bring back Taiwan?
Well,
it's amazing we're asking this question.
Well, did he I thought he went back to the Bees.
So
right?
he did. My guess is he probably has an op. That have been in the big leagues long enough, they go to AAA for teens. He probably has a rolling opt out that if someone wants him, he could just like leave.
Well, to answer your question, like they shouldn't have. With hindsight, they probably shouldn't have released him in the first place.
Yeah, right.
The fifth spot is an automatic loss. It's batting practice, like you described with Andrew Painter. You know what it was with Tomlin Walker? An auto loss batting practice. Like, but when you're a young guy, it's better for you to work through that in the minors than on the major league roster. Right. And then, you know, the ripple effect here is that we are going to call somebody up. They're probably not ready to come to the majors either. Nah. Otherwise, they would have been called up already. So, like, so we're going to have another guy from the minors come up and figure it out up here. You couldn't. A guy who you're paying anyway to
so
stink it up in that
a
spot.
Young bad pitcher, we're going to get an older bad pitcher.
Well, at least the young bad pitcher could work on his craft in the minor leagues. Let Taiwan be the pinata the rest of the season.
Screwed in the fifth spot unless they make a trade at the deadline, for one. So I'd rather that be a guy that you don't really care about their future stinking it up there rather than shake somebody's confidence like Andrew Painter or whoever this next guy we call
And you know what the reality of the situation was? Remember a couple of weeks ago when we were broaching a conversation of whether we would have a bat
or an arm?
Guess what?
We need both. We need both. And the arm feels more desperate at this moment. They need a body.
Both. Well, we need both. The
other thing, and let's all cross our fingers on this, Hugh, they're operating on thin ice because, all right, can you get through this season having Alan Ronhell or trading for some slappy fifth starter from another team? You can get through it, right? They have such a strong
top.
But if they have if any injury happens, all of a sudden
it changes everything.
Of course.
And boy, your bats better wake up. You know, when you talk about those top three guys and then you know your bats being hot and cold. Your bats, they got to be a little bit more consistent than they've been.
Think about the pressure that they are now have on the top of this rotation. They don't score much. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
But now, like if you're Sanchez, Wheeler, Luzardo, you know, Nola, we'll kind of put him to the side for a second. But just those three. Guys, you need to be great, and you can't miss a starter two or three, right? You can't get hurt on us because we don't even have five starters. So if you guys go down, or one of you goes down for a month, then we're just totally screwed. 215-592-9494. Your take on Andrew Painter. The Phillies finally sent him down yesterday. The ERA is over 7. And what was the bigger mistake? You know, not trading him when they had the opportunity, and it felt like deadline after deadline, his name came up, and the Phillies said, nah, it's untouchable. Or this, you know, giving him the spot in the rotation that he clearly wasn't ready for. Jeff in Wilmington is up on WIP. Hey, Jeff.
Jeff.
What's up, guys?
Hey,
what's
going
on, Jeff.
I'm with you, Joe. This is all on them. Couple of things. When was the last time the Phillies drafted a kid, you know, brought him up through the minors, a pitcher, by the way, and he succeeded? Who was – I can only name really like two in the last 30 years.
And that would be Nola and Hamels, right?
Well, okay, three. I'm sorry. Hamels, Nola, and what's his name from the 93 team? Kurt Schilling.
Schilling, yeah. But Schilling was not drafted here. They got him when he was young. But, yeah, I mean, they developed
him. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
You're right. Yep. So it is only two. All right, my bad. So the Phillies should do just rely on other teams to cultivate these pitchers. Just trade prospects to get good pitchers because they obviously can't, they can't do anything with pitchers in the minors. They just can't make him better. So in this case, we probably should have traded him. I told Kyle it's hindsight's 20/20, but I mean, at this rate, what choice would you have had? Like, you know, you can't bring pitchers up that are any good. I mean, even Christopher Sanchez wasn't the Phillies didn't draft him. He got drafted by Tampa Bay.
Right.
So,
and Jeff, the part that's amazing about this is, like, if you go back to the last two, right, the two you mentioned. So when they developed. Nola, obviously they weren't a good team, right? So it was just, okay, let's just give him, draft him, develop him, put him up here because we don't have anything. Okay. Hamels, they were starting to get better, but they, you know, you go back to 04, 05, 06, they weren't ready to win the World Series. So it was easy to say, all right, just let him develop. Jeff, the part that hurts with this one is Painter's time in the minors and his time injured and kind of this timeline we're talking about, it coincided with they could win the World Series, right? 23, 24, 25, and still they held on. Like, they could have cashed him in for the missing piece, and they said, nope, we cannot do it. He's too good.
Exactly. And I'm almost with you on this Taiwan Walker thing. I don't know the logistics and how it works with, you know, releasing a guy and then maybe bringing him back. I mean, obviously they could bring him back, but if I were him, I would be like, all right, I need more money. As crazy as that sounds, you're not gonna cut me and then beg me to come back without some kind of extra financial incentive. If I were Walker, that's what I would do, because he's already getting paid the money. You know what I mean? He's already getting paid really good money.
Yeah, he's getting $18 million from the Phillies to pitch for the Salt Lake Bees or whatever. Yeah,
So, but they need a body. Yep. They need a body in that. And Painter, you can't ruin him for the rest of his career by they're almost doing that now. You need a veteran, even if it's just somebody that can go out there for five innings and give up four or five runs. You need somebody in that spot. You can't go with a four-man rotation.
You can't. No. And look, they could probably get away with it for a week or two, but eventually, and Jeff, we appreciate the call, they're going to need another body in here. All right, so I pulled up the article on Taijuan. So Taijuan Walker opted out of his deal with the Salt Lake Bees last week, but then he went back to them. So the way it reads is Walker opted out of a prior non-roster deal with the Halos on Monday. It's common for players to re-sign on a new minor league contract after doing so. Testing the market gives them a few days to see whether a major league opportunity presents itself. So, Hugh, the way that reads to me is, I'm guessing every few weeks, every month, he'll probably do this. He'll opt out.
Opt out, see if he can get a job somewhere.
And then if not, he'll go back to Salt Lake. So if I'm him, I don't know how the contract reads, if it's a rolling every other week or a month, whatever he signs for.
You calling the Phillies?
Yeah, of course. I just pitched for you guys for 3 years. You're still paying me. Do you want me back?
Sound to me like you're doing the opposite of what Jeff said. You're just offering up your services. I'm kind of in the vein of Jeff. If you want me, you got to pay me. I need a little bit more money.
He's making $18 million
you know,
from the Phillies.
I mean, I'm gonna make that regardless. I'm at home chilling. I can play for the Salt Lake City Bees and chill and have this five point whatever ERA I got going. So yeah, I need a little bit more. I need some incentive.
If it came to that on principle, I would say no. I already gave you too much money. I can't.
I would say I need some incentive to come back.
Could you imagine if the Phillies gave Taijuan an extra million or two to come back after he started the season here?
I think the fans would be upset.
Yes!
They would be super
upset. I'd be upset with you.
Why they would be mad at me? I'm just saying.
Because you put the idea in his head.
Well,
you are Mr. Make It Rain with everyone else's money.
Always. Yeah, but your own. No.
That's the best way to be. Spend somebody else's money.
You do like doing that.
Yeah. But I'm saying, this team, the way it's been constructed, this is nobody's fault but the front office fault. You have no prospects that you can trade for. The one that you did have you could trade for, he's struggling mightily right now.
Yeah.
Your biggest piece, you just sent him down. You ain't even give him a chance. He didn't even get to dry his ass off well enough when he got out the shower before you sent him down to AAA. He took a shower, and before he was dry, Joe, before he could dry himself off, he said, hey, bro. Might well just go and keep it moving.
Poor guy didn't even get dressed.
He went straight to the airport. or go straight up the turnpike or whatever. Yeah, you're out of here.
Northeast Extension. Yeah, get to Allentown.
Just hit the turnpike. Yeah. This is the turnpike. Yeah, that's what they did. And now you don't have an answer. You got Adolphus Garcia hurt last week.
That's not his name.
You got him hurt last week. So we're in a bad spot. And we have nothing to trade for. We have nothing to trade. We have no trade piece.
I'm actually kind of surprised you didn't call him Adolphus Garcia before today. You were good all year with Adolphus.
I don't know. Adolphus is a name that's in my head today.
Okay. So where'd that come from?
I don't know.
Okay, I'm going to look that up. See what the heck that's in. Adolphus.
You know, I watched some FIFA last night, though. And nobody on FIFA name was Adolphus, but I was watching it.
Okay.
Pretty interesting.
Maybe we drop that one.
What's that? Adolphus? Adolis? Adolphus? Mm-mm. Okay, fine.
Will in the Northeast, stop on WIP.
Will.
What's up,
Will?
Hey, Dream Team, how y'all doing today?
What's up, man?
How you doing, Will?
Oh, man, that was terrible yesterday, but I like what Don did, man, like, for both Painter and Turner, man. Like, he's trying to figure out what's going on with these guys. Is it the confidence? Is it mental? Is it physical? What's going on? Because something is going on where y'all not able to play to your full potential. So I give him credit for trying to figure it out. And then for him actually, you know, making the right move and saying, hey, we got to send you back down, bro. But see, Painter is like, you know, like, I'm going to give him an analogy real quick. He's like when you're really hungry and you got one of them frozen TV dinners, right? And you pop it in the microwave and it's real hot on the top, but it's cold on the bottom. That's Angel Painter. You get what I'm saying? It was just like,
so it's not heated all the way through. Yeah, we got to stir it around and pop it back in the microwave. Yeah, I got you.
So it's just like, you know, hopefully we, you know, he will get better. But you know what I didn't understand? Why didn't they play him any time last season so they could see exactly what's going on before right now? Like,
because he was struggling last season.
I mean, yes, but I'm just saying, like, I don't know, because even during it, while he was down in the minors, he was still struggling after the surgery. So, you know, it's just certain things that they should have picked up on and been like, hey, you know what? Nobody really don't know, but we could probably, you know, get a nice little piece for him. We ain't going to, you know, hold on to something that's broken and may not be able to be fixed. But hopefully he could be fixed and, you know, he'll have a great season with us. And can I say one thing about the Eagles real quick?
Sure, yeah.
I just hope, you know, I keep hearing all this defense. That's good and all. But that offensive line, I need to hear some big players coming to fill in that line, man. Because you know why? Jalen going to need time in the pocket. He's learning a new offense, and he's learning new players and how to get the timing down with them dudes. He's going to need more time in the pocket, man. So let's start bringing some big bodies in here to help us out with that offensive line.
All right,
Happy Father's Day, man.
Happy Father's Day, Will. Appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, he got there. We just wanted to make a
so like
Eagles
sometimes
comment.
I go to pick up the phone.
Eagles comment.
Okay.
I think his larger point was that one thing we haven't talked much about is the offensive line.
Okay. Yeah. Great.
They need more bigger guys.
Awesome. We will take that into consideration. Talk more about the O-line.
Markell Bell in the third round. He probably will be their swing tackle.
We put Will on. I hear him talking about Painter, Taiwan. I go to the phone for 1 second. I come back, and he goes, Jalen just needs more time to go through his progressions.
I know.
What are you talking about?
It's an affliction.
What's an affliction?
Well, I mean, it's just, you know, it's funny. And you know, when you have boots on the ground and you hear people talk, everybody, you know, when we're out, why don't y'all talk about something else, right?
And then people call.
You feel me?
And they want to talk about Jalen.
We need to stop because we talk about what the people want to talk about.
Oh, dude, I opened the YouTube chat before the show today.
What are they doing in there?
Throwing out Jalen stats, arguing about Jalen Hurts. I mean,
you guys are wild.
They are who they think we are. We're all the same.
Yeah, we're all
yeah,
crazy.
We're fans.
Let this be a lesson to you all.
So I do agree with Will's point as he brought it up. But the offensive line is one of those things we will not know until we know. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't change it. It's just, can they stay healthy here? Because they had Dickerson had major injury. The center, Cam Jurgens, right? They both went to, where they go, South America to try to get their backs fixed.
Yeah, get their backs fixed.
Right, Lane's coming off of the injury to his foot. That's one of those, I think, when you're healed, you're healed. I expect Lane to be good. But Hugh, the offensive line was the problem last year. The year before, it was the best in the league. I think it's just about health. If they are healthy, those guys are good players. If they continue to get banged up, we could be in some big trouble.
Yeah, and you know how they adapt to this new offense, this new blocking scheme.
That's a good point.
I think that's a big part of it too. You know, everybody's talking about the run game. I think the passing game, to be totally honest, fixed the running game. So there has to be an emphasis.
You're saying if the passing game is better, the run game will open up?
Yes, because now you're – like, because as a defender, if I'm going into a game and say the year that Saquon Barkley had the Super Bowl year, you can run the ball. The first thing that any defensive coordinator is going to tell you, we're stopping the run first. So now when you have a team that can't throw the ball – there's more of a heavy emphasis on stopping the run.
Well, the blueprint really was given out by Spagnuolo. Now, that night, Jalen Hurts played excellent, right?
Yes.
The Super Bowl. But I think it almost felt like last year, defense were like, do it again, right? Can you do it again and again and again?
We don't believe you.
Yeah, and you know, you could do it once every month. Can you do it twice or three times a month?
Consistency.
We'll take our chances. And it didn't work out for the Eagles last year. 215-592-9494. All right, your reaction to the Andrew Painter thing, sent down, ERA over 7. I have no frustration at all towards Andrew Painter. This is on the Phillies. This is organizational malpractice, what we watched over the last few years. Number one, they could have cashed him in, maybe for the missing piece to have a parade here. They chose not to do that. They said, this kid's too valuable. He's too good. He has a chance to be a great pitcher. And we all went along with it. All right, so far, not good. But then the bigger mistake to me, and the one we're in now, is they gave him this rotation spot, and he didn't earn it. He didn't earn it. He pitched terribly at AAA last year. He was just blah in spring training, and they're like, yeah, he's fine. He'll be good. This is his time. He'll be good. Well, it's not working out for them right now. He's back at AAA. Bigger mistake, not trading him or giving him this rotation spot. 215-592-9494. We will throw the Eagles in as well next, because we know you guys want to do that. A report from a Raiders beat writer regarding the Eagles' interest in Max Crosby and what that would mean for the Eagles, the current team, and how it looks moving forward. 215-592-9494. That's next. Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. We have dreams of another championship with our teams. Be the world champion of your neighborhood with an upgrade to your home with my friends at Pella Windows and Doors. When it comes to replacing your windows and doors, experience matters. At Pella Windows and Doors, their expert consultants help you find the perfect fit for your home and your budget with flexible pricing and financing options designed around you. You'll get energy-efficient products backed by some of the best warranties in the business, including installation. And if you ever sell your home, those warranties transfer to the new homeowner. That's why your neighbors trust Pella. Right now, get 40% off installation or 0% APR for 60 months. Book a free in-home consultation today by calling 877-98-PELLA. That number again, 877-98-PELLA. Or visit PellaPhilly.com. That's PellaPhilly.com. And tell them Joe Giglio sent you.